Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Tell me what you think I've been doing wrong. I'm too high to hear what you say. Maybe write a letter if it takes too long. I won't come down today.
Roger Rothman first discovered marijuana while serving as a U.S. Army officer in Vietnam as a social worker. From these innocuous beginnings, he has been fascinated by marijuana as a researcher, scholar, therapist, activist, and user. His new book is Marijuana Nation, One Man's Chronicle of America Getting High from Vietnam to Legalization. The book is published by Pegasus. Roger Rothman, thank you very much for being with us. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for the invitation.
It is a delight to have you with us. What got you thinking in these terms of wanting to follow your story as well as following the story of this country's attitudes towards marijuana?
I had been involved with marijuana research and education and advocacy for 45 years. And as retirement from the University of Washington faculty approached, my thought was writing a book would be a nice project. It would get me through the transition. So that's how it started. And then over the next several years, as I was writing, 2010, 2011, the world began to change. The ground began to rumble. People were talking about legalizing marijuana. And my purpose for writing this book began to change. It was not just a project to help me retire. I wanted to have my opinions known. I have strong opinions about marijuana and marijuana law. So the memoir ended up having two major purposes.
When you talk about those opinions, were they formed early?
The opinion that heavy criminal penalties for people who possess and use marijuana, that there's something wrong with that, that did form early. Somebody received very heavy punitive sanctions for using marijuana, it seemed unjust. And so my ideas about marijuana and marijuana penalties began to form way back in the 1960s while I was in Vietnam.
You talk about Vietnam being a starting place for you. I mentioned it in the introduction. How were you introduced to the drug?
I was on a court-martial board. It's one of the things, if you're an officer in the Army, you're assigned to do periodically. And the defendant that appeared before us was 24 years old. He had a perfectly clean record, but he had been caught with 10 joints. And here we were running a trial and deciding whether or not to convict him and put him in prison. I was 24 as well, and it just became difficult for me to be a part of that group and recognize that most of the senior people on that court-martial board, career officers, saw this fellow as engaging in egregiously harmful behavior. So I argued unsuccessfully for not sending him to jail, and nonetheless, he was sent to jail. It was a second thing that introduced me to marijuana, and that was the easy availability of pot in Vietnam. And I tried it out one day. I bought some from a local Vietnamese person. I very furtively tried it out. I thought I'd be kind of a scientist and take notes on the experience. I ended up falling asleep and never taking any notes at all. But it certainly got my attention. And, you know, in retrospect, to be curious about something like that, even if you know it's against the law, I think there's something quite normal to have that curiosity.
With that said, I mean, over the years of your work on this subject and investigating and lobbying and talking to doctors and working in oncology wards, it is safe to say, though, that at least in reading the book, you get the idea that you still have a rather complex relationship with marijuana.
You know, it's very common today, if people are offering opinions, to take one of two polar opposites. So somebody might say marijuana is harmless, therefore it should be legal. At the other end of the continuum, marijuana is harmful, it should still be prohibited. And I do have a more nuanced view. I've spent most of my academic career studying marijuana dependence, and it's a fairly serious thing when it happens, and it happens to a substantial minority of people who smoke marijuana. It's particularly harmful for young people, teenagers, to start smoking marijuana early and start using it heavily while their brain is still developing. Nonetheless, prohibition has just not worked as we had hoped it would. Billions of dollars in profits have been earned by illegal sellers of marijuana in our country. Marijuana is readily available in just about every community, even under prohibition. So I came to a view that if marijuana were tightly regulated and if much of the revenue, the tax revenue from marijuana sales, were devoted to public education about marijuana and the funding of prevention programs targeting young people and research and treatment, maybe we would live in a more healthy, safe way with marijuana. It seems to me we're going to live with marijuana one way or another, and my hope is we can do it better, more healthfully, and safely under a regulated system rather than a total prohibition.
So what we're seeing in Colorado and Washington, seen as experiments for the rest of the country, you think that that is healthy, the way we are doing that and looking at the states and how they have rolled this out?
I think it's a good idea. I think it was Justice Brandeis on the Supreme Court who talked about the states as laboratories of democracy. And from my own point of view, I would not encourage other states to move all that quickly towards legalization. I would encourage them to take a look and see what happens in the first and second and perhaps third years in Colorado and Washington. Once things settle down, there's a certain kind of novelty period where all kinds of strange things may happen when stores first open and people first start using some of the products in these stores. But, you know, after 2 or 3 years, we'll have a pretty good idea. Are more young people using marijuana, using it heavily, using it earlier? Are more people getting into accidents because of driving under the influence of marijuana? Are more people becoming dependent on marijuana? And so I'm very much interested in good evaluation research to see what happens in Colorado and Washington.
Meanwhile, we look at nearly 20 other states that are toying with some sort of marijuana legislation, marijuana reform legislation, and mostly having to do with medical marijuana. And I guess that is a first step, isn't it?
You know, the medical marijuana thing kind of happened in a strange way. Some people thought of it as a way of people who were favoring legalization to get in the side door, that they would do anything that they needed to do to convince the public that marijuana was okay. So the evolution of marijuana as medicine and laws to permit it kind of came from a very credible basis, a scientifically supported basis, that, you know, there in fact was some benefit here. And So, you know, it's quite unusual in a country that has such a well-developed system of developing, testing new medications, and an industry that employs scientists to do just that, to see marijuana developed as a medicine completely outside of the pharmaceutical industry's processes. My hope is that before too long, the medical benefits of marijuana will come back into the fold. Good research will support its being developed and made available through the conventional systems of medicine, a doctor prescribing and a pharmacy having it stocked.
You spoke about prohibition earlier, and I'm curious, just looking at the title of your book, how do you think we became a marijuana nation?
There's some fascinating histories about that, and some have argued, and I think there may be some truth to this, that when the country repealed the Volstead Act, the National Prohibition of Alcohol, there were some federal bureaucrats who turned their attention to marijuana and found that there was reason for sounding the alarm. You know, in the 1920s and the 1930s, we have the beginnings of reefer madness. Certain books were written, and federal officials would give speeches. I think there was an article here in Seattle on the major newspaper in 1923, and it's a wonderful quote: "Marijuana turns an ordinary human being into a blind, deaf, deadly beast, more dangerous than any beast that ever roamed in any jungle." Well, you know, that's a wonderful quote, and I suspect whoever wrote it believed it. With the exaggerations of marijuana in the 20s and the 30s, legislators quickly moved to deal with it, and marijuana penalties became quite severe. The Vietnam War played a part in this as well, Joe. You know, in the 1960s, as the buildup of American troops in Vietnam was occurring, so was the buildup of the anti-war movement. And smoking pot ended up being kind of a glue that held together many in the anti-war movement. And marijuana's popularity, I think, was greatly enhanced by the movement to oppose the war in the 60s. And then along came the 70s, and all bets were off in terms of movements to challenge conventional morality, to challenge racism and sexism, and to challenge some of the ideas about sex and drugs.
So it seems in the book and through our conversation that you are optimistic about the future when it comes to this nation's relationship with marijuana.
I am optimistic, and when I beat my drum, it's my optimism is based on if we do a good job of regulating marijuana and we do a good job of educating people and funding prevention programs that we know work, particularly focusing on young people, I think we can do better to shape healthy norms, to discourage unhealthy behavior like driving under the influence, young people using marijuana too early in life. So my optimism is based in part on some of the successes we've seen with tobacco and tobacco laws and tobacco prevention efforts. But I have to tell you, I've got all of my fingers crossed that my reasoning is right here. We're doing something that has never been done before with marijuana, not even in the Netherlands, where it's still illegal, although tolerated. So I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess is the phrase.
The title of the book is Marijuana Nation, One Man's Chronicle of America Getting High from Vietnam to Legalization. The book is published by Pegasus. Roger Rothman, thank you very much for sharing your expertise with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Marijuana Nation. It is published by Pegasus. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.